verse 16. Our text is verses 16 through 21. And again, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you who are blessed to be moms. We all have a certain connection to our mom. And we can all appreciate God's essential plan and purpose for motherhood. So happy Mother's Day, moms. Our message today from the text of Luke 8, 16 to 22, 21, I hope you'll see it. This has a certain connection to the message from last Sunday where we looked at verses 1 through 15 of Luke 8. And I pray that we can all appreciate God's essential plan and purpose for, as Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear. I hope that that is all of us. Whoever has ears to hear. Jesus is exactly who he says he is. He's exactly who the Word reveals him to be. Jesus is the Master. Full stop. And if you are his apprentice, his disciple, then you must keep your eyes on your ears. And so the title of this sermon is Watch Your Hearing. Watch your hearing. It's really what Jesus says in Luke 8, verse 18. Take care then, or take heed how you hear. Take care then how you hear. Certainly, certainty is something that the world says, well, we can't be certain about anything. But certainty about following Jesus Christ really rests, emphatically rests, on your response to what Jesus says. Are you paying attention to his word and growing good soil fruit? Or do you have a heart that tries to fit God's word into like all the worldly categories? Or do you have a heart that fits all the worldly categories into the sufficiency of God's word? This is really a crucial question. Are you living under the authority of God's word, or is it just a suggestion? Just something you play with maybe on Sunday morning? Do you have a heart that tries to fit God's word into worldly categories, or do you have a heart that fits all of the world's categories into God's word? Too often we pay more attention to, you know, our online socials and are doom scrolling our news feed than to understanding and putting into practice what the Bible says. This past week, the internet is, of course, buzzing with responses to, in addition to other distractions, buzzing with the response to the coordinated movement of certain government agencies that have released footage of certain unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAP, a broader term for UFO, which we've heard all of our lives, right? And you're like, is he really bringing this up in his Mother's Day sermon? Well, I'm just telling you, my attention was grabbed by this story a few days ago. It said that a group of pastors allegedly, were being told by government agents to prepare their congregations for, quote, Bible-changing information about aliens. So there's growing interest in commentary in our society about E.T., phone home, right? Extraterrestrial life. And we're laughing, and it makes me laugh, and that's why I brought it up, because I was watching, I think, all of the relevant files on extraterrestrial creatures when I was a little kid. Marvin the Martian, right? Looney Tunes. Take me to your leader, or I'll atomize your face, or thing, right? Okay, well, you want me to take you to my leader? I'll take you to Jesus. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Right? And I'm just saying, this is how, you know, if you want to talk about being prepared for such things, this is how we need to be prepared in response to such things. Let's focus on the grace and truth revealed in Jesus Christ. Let's rest in the sufficiency of Scripture for our whole journey, anything we encounter. Let's recognize the dark agenda of very real demonic voices seeking to undermine, always undermine, and discredit God's Word. No doubt about it, the devil, who Jesus calls the father of lies, is bringing great deception upon the whole world with all kinds of lies that will convince and unite all kinds of unbelievers against God's gospel and against God's people. But again, I ask the question, do you have a heart that tries to fit God's word into the worldly categories, or do you have a heart that fits the worldly categories into the revelation of God's word? God is truth and love. God defines truth and love. God reveals truth and love. And I hope this morning you know that the darkness will not be able to overcome, to overpower, to extinguish the white, hot, blazing light of God's Word. I hope you know that the light for this dark world is Jesus Christ. God is the perfect promise keeper, and God's Son Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of the promise. He is the yes and the amen. His word is infallible and inerrant. In other words, cover to cover, there is no fake news in the Bible. But you have God-given agency. You may choose to ignore it. You may choose to rationalize it. You may choose to outright reject it. Most never come to see the light of truth that Jesus brings. And Luke shows us that the Jewish leadership at this time responded to Jesus with a growing hostility. They didn't like this upstart rabbi. They wanted to cancel Jesus. And so it's a very pertinent question that Jesus asked. Who has ears to hear? Who has ears to hear Jesus? And we saw last time as we looked at the first part of Luke 8 and the parable of the soils and the response to the seed of God's word. We saw that the only ears that hear the good news of the kingdom Jesus brings are those who have been enabled by His grace. Hallelujah for His grace. Jesus continues in this same warning about our response here, though, when He lovingly tells us, watch what you hear. Keep your eyes on your ears. Never stop looking at the way you are responding to Jesus. You need to preach His gospel, the good news of the kingdom, to your own soul every day. And then preach it everywhere else you can for the sake of His name. How does Jesus describe the good soil response to the seed of His word in Luke 8? Going back to verse 15, Jesus describes those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Brothers and sisters, this is our prayer for our community, right? For Faith Bible Church, that we would hear the word, that we would hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Because as Luke says in Luke 19:10, Jesus came on a mission. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came publicly preaching the good news of God's kingdom. And He came powerfully revealing the kingdom's secrets so that they're no longer secrets for everyone who will believe in Him. And believing in Him, we gain this assurance that we will live forever with Him. But Jesus did speak in parables. And we saw last time he was speaking in parables as a kind of judgment on those who refused to believe. Jesus quotes from Isaiah as he says to his disciples in Luke 8 verse 10, to you disciples, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. But Jesus gives a follow-up parable to the parable of the soils in our text today. And I just want you to remember Jesus is speaking emphatically to his disciples as we look at Luke chapter 8 and this parabolic proverb of the lamp and the lampstand. Notice what Jesus says in Luke 8, 16 to 18. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see light, may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Watch how you respond to the light Jesus brings. This is the first thing I want you to think about. You need to watch how you respond to the light Jesus brings. And, of course, at this time, you know, there's no debate about, you know, LED lighting versus incandescent lighting. In those days, the common oil lamp with a burning wick produced about as much light as a single candle. And people used what they had. Such a burning lamp would be positioned to shine, obviously, where light is needed. Do you find yourself needing more light as you get older? Like, hey, let me put some more light on this so I can actually read it. And you know, people put the light where it was needed. As Jesus says, obvious, nobody lights a lamp just to cover up with a clay jar or obscure it under a bed. That would defeat the purpose of providing light for people to properly see. No, you light a lamp and you put it on the lampstand to give illumination for everyone who enters. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light for the whole world. The light the whole world needs. And Jesus didn't come to hide the good news of God's kingdom. No, as the promised king, as the Messiah, Jesus came to bring the hidden things, the secret things, the undisclosed truths of God's kingdom out into the light of revelation. If you have been graciously given ears to hear Jesus, your heart should be filled with gratitude. And your mind should be calibrated with biblical discernment. You need to very carefully keep watching, keep looking, keep beholding how you are hearing and responding to Jesus' revelation. The Greek word here, blepo, it means to see, to take heed. And what does Jesus say? If you welcome his word because you are faithfully walking in his light, he will give even more illumination, even more insight into his word. You will keep growing in the good soil. You will keep multiplying the fruit that is pleasing to him. But if you have no relationship because your response to Jesus is rejection, even the understanding that you think you possess will be taken away from you. If you fail to respond properly to Jesus' message in faith, listen, eventually it will be too late for you. In the immediate context, Jesus warns his disciples regarding the Jewish religious leadership who boasted in their spiritual illumination. Oh, we're the spiritual leaders of the nation. They boasted. But they were actually proving their darkness because of in their hostility against Jesus. Because Jesus is the light. And spiritual blindness is a divine judgment. Without Jesus, we're all in the dark. He is our only hope. And even the truth that the Jewish nation had graciously received throughout all of the Old Covenant, Old Testament history, it gets taken away due to their national failure to recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of the messianic promise. And this is the state of things. Until God's grace shines, the gospel of Jesus Christ and His kingdom remains a stumbling block. I read about a man who was raised in the city, but then moved out to the country, bought a farm with several milk cows. I know we've got some people here today who know about milking cows, or maybe you remember that from your youth. This man thought, hey, this would be a great idea. I'm going to buy a farm, some milking cows. One day, this man walks into the local feed store, and he laments that his best cow has gone dry. So the feed store manager asks if he's properly feeding the cow. And the man says he's feeding the cow exactly what the feed store manager had sold him. And then the feed store manager asked, well, are you milking her every day? And the man said, just about. If I need 6 or 8 ounces of milk for breakfast, I go out and get it. If I don't need any milk, I don't milk her. I just let her save it up. Some of you are laughing because the city bred man had to be told, that's not the way this works, right? That's not how any of this works. The cow went dry because the cow needs to be milked every day. And we must hear Jesus addressing how our daily response works. How are we responding to Jesus' word, the word of God, on the daily? If you think you can pick and choose and manipulate and rationalize the way that you respond to the truth that Jesus brings us, the truth that is revealed in the scripture, that's not how any of this works. You need to hold on to all the truth you can so that you will be given more. There's no neutral response when it comes to Jesus. You're either for Him or you're against Him. And if you have no real hunger for God's word, warning from Jesus, the light of His revelation will be taken from you. The consequence of going your own way and leaning on your own understanding will be an unavoidable consequence. If you don't listen to obey Jesus, you won't be able to hear the truth that you so desperately need. So your most dangerous problem is failing to hear Jesus. And if you're failing to hear Jesus, then you're believing the devil's lies. Tragically, not everyone in the room has eyes to see the light of Christ. And Jesus knows. Jesus knows the disconnect between those who are professing, claiming to hear God's word, and those who really prove a genuine identity by putting God's word into practice on the daily. And we don't get it perfect. We fall on our face, but the person who has ears to hear gets back up and keeps following Jesus. And Jesus is saying to us, you need to watch your hearing so that your response to Him is an honoring response. As Jesus teaches in the parable of the soils or the seed in the soils, You don't want the seed of God's word to be just taken away, you know, like the birds take the seed away. You don't want the devil just yanking it away. You don't want it to wither away. You don't want it to be choked out by the cares of life and the riches of life and the pleasures of life. Because you have no hope of eternal life apart from Jesus. He is the one who has all the authority and the power to save. And He is eager and mighty to save. But if you have ears to hear Jesus, it's going to be increasingly obvious by the way you put God's word into practice. You will want to know God's word more and more. You will be so eager to hear the biblical revelation of truth surrounded by God's family. You won't want to miss it. You'll listen carefully to biblical sermons, and you will make biblical study your top priority. Not just to check off a list in a legalistic way, but to see God's enabling grace transforming your life so that you look more and more like the Lord Jesus. Because this is the growth process that pleases Him. If you're just playing a character for Sunday morning, you're still in the dark. You can fool some of the people some of the time. Bottom line, Jesus knows it all. And everything dark will be exposed by His light. If you think you can keep it hidden in the dark, it doesn't work that way. Jesus came to shine so that His true family will know the truth that sets us free. The truth that sets us free indeed. And Jesus emphasizes this point again in the scene that develops next. Luke 8, verses 19 through 21. We read, "Then His mother and His brothers came to Him, but they could not reach Him because of the crowd. And He was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you.' But He answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" Watch that you respond as the true family Jesus loves. Watch that you respond as the true family Jesus loves. Jesus, understand, He is not at all dishonoring His mother or His siblings. He's emphasizing that there is a kind of family that is eternally closer than blood and biology. And we are experiencing it right now, brothers and sisters. The family of God. What a gift. Luke has shown us that God the Holy Spirit supernaturally conceived Jesus in the young Virgin Mary's womb. She was blessed to be the mom that brought Jesus. Into the life and ministry. And so He's not dishonoring His mother. He's not dishonoring His siblings. But He has siblings. That's an important point. Because after Jesus' birth, Joseph does marry Mary. And the Lord blesses their union, as the scripture says, with sons and daughters. And now Mary shows up, Jesus' mom, like, she comes with some brothers. Maybe there were sisters there too, we don't know. But Jesus' mother shows up, and yet the crowd is so huge. The crowd is so pressing. They can't get to Jesus, they can't talk to Him. They have no access, you know? They didn't have the backstage pass. But the message is sent and finally reaches Jesus as he's teaching this huge crowd. Hey, your mom and your brothers are here. They want to see you, but they're standing outside this huge crowd. Notice how the relational language is repeated three times in these three verses. His mother and his brothers. Your mother and your brothers. My mother and my brothers or sister and sisters. So Jesus is putting a twist on this relational language that everyone is familiar with to emphasize a spiritual truth. Who really stands in relationship as the forever family of Jesus? Without dishonoring his mother or brothers, Jesus identifies as his true spiritual family those who, like the wise builder we saw a few weeks ago, those who hear God's word and they put it into daily practice. Notice, when Jesus identifies his true family as those who are following the light. They're the ones that receive the seed of God's word like good soil. They're those who hear and obey God's word. And being Jesus' true family, oh, don't you know, it comes with amazing benefits. Full access to Jesus. Jesus blesses his true family with the privilege of his presence. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's with us in this gathering. He's with you, brothers and sisters. He's with his disciples everywhere we go. Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost in the darkness of sinful, satanic bondage. And I hope it's your testimony. You can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I hope you have that before Christ and that after deliverance testimony. And if that's your testimony, don't forget where he found you. Never forget how Christ has saved you. If you're part of the good soil harvest, you have this privilege of being part of the forever family. You have his illumination. You have access to the Master. He walks with you. You follow him. He is a good shepherd. So we are not in want. And you never have to worry about Jesus going no contact with his true family. Because Jesus' true family ties are blessed and unbreakable. Hallelujah. On a day like this, you may be thinking, well, my relationship with parents, siblings, other family members, it's not great. You may be thinking, oh, Mother's Day is pretty difficult. But what you need more than anything is to respond to Jesus with an obedient and honoring faith. Keep running to him. Those who believe will be saved. Luke 8:12 says. And it also says those who do not believe Jesus will not be saved. So here is a text that calls us to examine our life by the light shining, the light of God's word that is always shining. Examine your life by the light of God's word. Do you have a heart that tries to fit God's word into all the worldly categories? Oh yeah, there's God's word, but we believe in science. We believe in what, you know, the prevailing, you know, theories are. We believe in what the most people say in the world. Or do you have a heart that fits all of the worldly categories? What everybody says into the categories we have provided for us in God's word. God's word is sufficient. But again, it's not just about knowing some things. It's about doing the things that Jesus calls us to do. So what are you putting into practice? Is it the Bible that determines what you do or don't? Not just on a Sunday morning, but every day of the week? Are you walking in a selfish legalism? Or are you following the path of grace and truth that God's Word reveals? Are you holding fast to the truth and letting your light shine as a reflector of Jesus? We don't know what stories will be told about aliens or a number of other things in the days to come. We don't know all of the lies that the devil will try to spin. But we do know that there will be many Antichrist voices. As John writes, already there are so many Antichrist voices. And technology increasingly, you know, for all the good that is in technology, like the internet, technology increasingly brings these demonic voices right to our ears. These enemy voices that are deceptive in the craftiest of ways. Following these dark and deceptive voices it's a real and eternal danger. So, heed the word of Jesus. Watch what you're hearing. Pay careful attention to how you respond, so that you can understand also how others are responding. And that you will be the sheep of Jesus who hears his voice and follows him. His true family, Jesus' true family, is always eager to see him more, to know him more, to love him more. We fall down, even as Jesus' true family. As a church community, we must confess we fall into sinful hypocrisy. A lot of spiritual disconnects. And we need to own our sin in confession. We need to realize in the light of the gospel, we are not yet perfected in our practice. But we can be so grateful that our Lord Jesus perfectly leads us by his grace. He is the ruler and the rescuer that we all need. And so whether you are a mother or whoever you are, what immeasurable blessing it is to hear God's word and to put it into practice as his true family. And to realize with every next breath that he is giving us, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Father, we do thank you. And we pray that the light of your revelation would mold our response to be a more thankful response and a more faithful response and a response that is more representative, more faithfully representative of Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to watch our hearing, to watch, Lord, the responses, that we wouldn't say, oh, that's just the way I am. Oh, this is just my habit for years and years. That no, the authority of what you say would be the authority to which we submit on the daily. And that in community, as brothers and sisters, we would help one another in this journey. To know and to love you more and to put your word into practice. Because this is what pleases you. And Lord, we want to please you. Oh, Father, we thank you for all of the blessing, all of the grace that you show us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the empowerment of your Spirit to follow Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would establish the fruit of good soil, that this community of Faith Bible Church, Lord, would continue multiplying. And we pray all these things again with thanksgiving. If you're thankful for the light of Christ, you want it to be seen today in your acts of love. I want to invite you to sing one more song before we dismiss today. Because worship is not just what we do on Sunday morning, right? It's our 24/7 response. So let's sing this as a prayer over this coming week. Here I am to worship.
Light of the world,